The following podcast is brought to you by the book Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead Newfoundland. Visit Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook. And now, on with the show.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friend, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Hello out there in Paranormal Land. John Mallard here, and I'm not actually in the oldest city in North America. I'm actually podcasting tonight from the most beautiful place I've been in a long, long time, in recent memory anyhow. I'm in scenic Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, getting ready for tomorrow's festivities. That's right, Helanticon has finally arrived, and tomorrow I'll be representing the Life After Death Society at my booth at Grenville College, of course, at Grenville University, sorry, and I'll be giving a paranormal panel tomorrow, new PVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland, tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m., chances are I'd say you probably are listening to the podcast now once this is over, so hopefully a lot of people showed up. I got some wonderful guests. I actually did a podcast with two friends I drove from St. John's up with me, Dash and Woody Malone. Woody, of course, real name is Noel. Woody Malone, who are with the Wonderbolt Circus and are having their own light and laser and just madness show, we'll say. And we're going to talk a little bit about different aspects of the paranormal, and Dash's own experience with a real-life UFO experience. So, yeah, that should be great. We're going to get into that a little later in the show. But first, I got to bring you guys the paranormal news. Well. It just so happens that it doesn't matter what kind of religious text you hold over your head, having a moral compass seems to shine through more often. Does religion make people more moral? A new study has examined how religious and political affiliations affect how we perceive morality. Researchers from St. Peter's University in New Jersey and the University of Illinois in Chicago asked 1,252 adults from the United States and Canada a number of questions about their experiences both committing and witnessing good and bad deeds. While those from different religions, from religious and political backgrounds, might seem to be loggerheads on a number of moral issues, the study found that people tend to commit the same number of good deeds regardless of their personal beliefs. There were, however, some differences among the participants. Deeply religious people tended to experience a more intense feeling of guilt or embarrassment upon committing an immoral act and a deeper sense of pride or satisfaction when committing a moral one. On the political side, liberals and conservatives appeared to have similar morals, but tended to think and talk about moral concepts in different ways. As far as I know, this is the first study that's used this kind of lived experience, so to speak, approach to track morality as it's happening, said psychologist Dan Wisniewski. And, of course, this adds fuel to the fire for many, many years and millennia. We, of course, have been at war because of religious persecution of beliefs. But in the age-old word that, and something I believe in very wholly, doesn't matter what religious background you are, how spiritual or non-spiritual you are, don't be a dick. Just be nice. Oh, my. Anyway. From religious beliefs right to, handprints from a Yeti. Oh, Moscow, you always have something interesting to tell us about. Well, Yeti handprint discovered near Moscow is my next story. Tales of a large, undiscovered primate in the Russian wilderness have been on the rise in recent years. When the topic of cryptozoological primates is brought up for discussion, will typically center around either the Yeti, a legendary beast said to wander the Himalayan mountains, or Bigfoot, a large bipedal ape reported all across North American continents. Such stories are not limited to these regions of the world, however. Russia, in particular, is home to its own ape-beast legend, a creature known as Alma. Numerous sightings have been documented over the years, particularly in remote forest regions. Now, Andrei Stroganov, a biophysical technologist and Alma enthusiast from Moscow's Agriculture Academy, believes that he has identified physical evidence of the creature. This evidence, which consists of a segment of tree bark with peculiar indentations, was found in a forested area in the Solnogorsk district near Moscow. The bark was taken from a large tree trunk that appeared to have been deliberately planted in the ground and marked with scratches. The indentations on the bark are thought to represent evidence of a handprint left by the creature, that move the log. Stroganoff believes that the find strongly points to the existence of a large undiscovered species of primate in the region. They are benevolent and need our protection, he said, and also added. You know, there's no doubt that in this world there are many creatures we do know a lot about and many creatures that we discover only just yesterday. And the chances of a large creature such as a primate being undiscovered is not exactly all that great compared to, say, an insect, which can go be overlooked. But when evidence points us in the direction that there could very well be, we better get the cameras for that Finding Bigfoot show there. Well, let's face it, they've already found them pretty much every week, right? Oh, my. Well, I tell you, there's one thing I definitely don't want to go find, and that's strange green spears that have been washing up in Sydney. Yeah, these strange green spears, you know, we've heard a little tiny bit about these before, but now they're becoming more prevalent. Beachgoers in Australia have been puzzling over the appearance of peculiar green ball-like objects. A beach in northern Sydney has become an unexpected visitor attraction thanks to hundreds of strange green spears that have mysteriously washed up along the shoreline. I didn't want to touch one because you never know what can sting you on the beach. But I did poke it with my toes and it's squishy, like a sponge, said Beach Patrol member Ray Marie Hutton. They look like alien eggs or something, he added. Some beachgoers suggested that the objects had been growing are becoming more numerous. About 3 days ago, there were a few egg-shaped balls, but then today, they were much bigger and everywhere on the beach, said local resident Jenny Zhang. There has been much debate among experts with regard to what the objects actually are, with the consensus at the moment being that they could be balled-up clusters of seaweed or algae. And just goes to show you that not everything that seems to be paranormal and odd is really all that paranormal, even to the scientist community. You know, sometimes we just see anomalies, so to speak. And let me tell you, I'll be keeping an eye on the beaches here in Newfoundland for big green balls. From squishy balls on the beach to killer robots back in the news, a robot programmed to save people from an imminent threat turned out to be worryingly indecisive. Researchers at Bristol University set up an experiment in which a robot was programmed specifically with the task of preventing other robots from falling down a hole. The concept was based on exploring robot ethics, as outlined by author Isaac Asimov, who suggested that robots be governed by a set of moral principles requiring them to prevent any human from coming to harm as a direct result of their own inaction. When the research team ran the experiment, they found that the robot tasked with saving the other robots only managed to do so around half the time. The problem seemed to stem from the fact that two robots needed to be rescued at the same time. The robot doing the rescuing dithered around too long trying to figure out who to help, ultimately resulting in both failing and falling down the hole. It notices one human robot, starts toward it, but then almost immediately notices the other, said roboticist Alan Winfield. It changes its mind. And at the time, lost dithering means that Asimov robot cannot prevent either robot from falling into the hole. The experiment mirrors concerns raised about the decisions and decision-making abilities of self-driving cars, which will be required to keep both their own passengers and other road users safe from harm. I do know one thing. If I am going to be driving a smart car, I better be smart enough to make a decision to save my life before I'll ever get behind the wheel of it. At the end of the day, I'll take the sudden human error, which occurs one in a million times, versus a robot that can't make up its mind just because it had new data thrown at it. And tonight, we will finish with an appetizing dish of news. So, you know, I think on the top 10 of gross things you could possibly eat, I'm probably going to put human flesh up there. How about we have it in a burger? Burger designed to taste like human flesh is our next story. A London pop-up venture is offering consumers a chance to sample burgers with a rather unique taste. Adventurous diners will have the opportunity to sample the appetizingly titled Human Flesh Burger as part of one-time promotion to mark the launch of the fifth season of the popular zombie-based TV series The Walking Dead, which returns later this month. The burgers were concocted through a collaboration between chef James Tomlinson and the London Mass and Macabre freelance creative food designer Miss Cakehead. Rather than resorting to cannibalism themselves, the pair based the taste of their burgers on descriptions provided by real-life cannibals, such as explorer William Seabrook, who likened the taste of human flesh to good, fully developed veal, not young, but not yet beef. The finished product, which will contain pork, veal, chicken, liver, and bone marrow, will be available for members of the public to taste in East London on September 30th. Tastes like me. Yeah, I think I might just pass on these burgers. Let's be completely honest with ourselves. We're going to eat ourselves. Aren't we going to eat the most appetizing parts of our body, such as Yeah, I really have absolutely nothing here for this. This is just disgusting. But I will say this, if I do order a human flesh burger, I'll be sure to get a nice candy and some fava beans. That, my friends, is the news, and all of it has been odd to Newfoundland.
Now time for tonight's special guest.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, back with guests on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. We've got Dash, we've got Witty, ladies and gentlemen, here to light up my life and to shed some light on the paranormal here in Newfoundland. Two new friends I've just made today, en route to Atlanticon, Dash and Woody Malone. How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing good.
Good, we're doing great.
Awesome. And, you know, I'm just going to start and say that right now, while we are talking, people are probably hearing the engine and chip bags and cans and stuff. But you know what? This is part of being on the road. We are actually podcasting in my car on our way to Corner Brook for Atlanticon 3. And I guess the first and foremost thing I will do is let you guys introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about what you guys are going to be doing at the con.
Okay, well, me and Witty, Noel, are going to be going to the con, and we're taking our laser and light show. And so we do an effect that's kind of like holograms, and Noel does her laser act. And we're also going to be doing a little panel on costume making. So we're hoping to just network with people there on social media, you know, get a few new Twitter followers and a few new YouTube subscribers. And that's about it. See what other people are doing there.
You hear that? All the couple of hundred people on my Facebook page right now. Get on there. Send a little bit of love. What's the Twitter handle?
At Ninja Saizo is me and Noel.
At Tindy Bobo is me.
Tindy Bobo. I like it. Yeah, I'll just I'll make sure I retweet you guys. You just at me, we'll say. Add me and at me.
You the man.
And we'll do a little bit of a share thing, you know what I mean?
Excellent.
So you know, tonight's topic with you guys is gonna be shedding the light on paranormal. This is a play on words because you guys have a light show. Yeah. And we're gonna talk about a couple of different paranormal topics, and of course, you know, as much as I love electronic voice phenomena, there are a lot of other things out there that are deemed as paranormal. And I think, realistically, in our wonderful, wonderful world, light in general actually is quite an amazing thing. It's paranormal in nature itself, you know. I think that it'd be kind of cool to shed a bit of light on light, so to speak, and ask you guys how you guys feel about some different things. First and foremost, what's your guys' opinion on the existence or non-existence of what I deal with, which would be spirits?
Well, I think for me, it depends on how you believe in spirits, you know? It depends on what your definition is of that for me personally. And I think that there's no blanket statement I can make that's going to describe the nature of reality, nor do I think that I can comment on, you know, if there is a spirit or not, what the nature of that is. But I do believe in spirits, and I do even believe fundamentally that we are spirits. So I believe just our existence alone is a fundamental proof of spirits.
Awesome. How about you, Witty?
Yeah, I definitely recognize, like, a spiritual aspect to every living being in the world. And as far as, like, how to define, like, what it is or what dimensions, like, I am totally open to just, like, I don't know, so.
But I always love, I think we both always love hearing about other beliefs and other people's beliefs, and we're religious studies scholars, and we're extremely open to spiritual experiences and always looking to have our own, of course.
Absolutely, and with me, like, I tell people, you know, my journey began when my dad beat cancer, basically. He beat a terminal illness, and he owed it all to prayer. And, you know, with me, it pretty much right away took me from that atheist view of there is no spirit world to, okay, maybe there is something there. So when somebody asks me, you know, are you religious? I say, no, I'm actually quite spiritual. There's a big difference. And I think people need to understand that, right? So, yeah, no doubt about it. You guys live in one of the most haunted places in North America, St. John's, Newfoundland. Have you guys got any stories or anything like that you'd like to share?
Not like specifically like reference to, you know, hauntings and stuff, but I've certainly had spooky experiences, you know, and I've certainly had, especially when I was a child, I remember waking up and having like, you know, kind of like, you know, night terrors where you'd be like almost asleep, but not, or, you know, you'd be in the woods and get those, goosebumps on your neck and you just run, you know, and you're not questioning what it is or what, but you know, you have that feeling that is certainly beyond you, you know? So I've certainly had those experiences, but nothing that I'd like, you know, no anecdote that I think is really compelling that I'd like to share now.
Okay, yeah. It, for me, like, I just think, once again, it's just a sign that you are open to it. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, to me, there's nothing worse than to be close-minded on the actual issues at hand. I feel, too, that a lot of people write off paranormal experiences and stuff like that. You know, as Dickens wrote in the Christmas Carol, just a piece of cheese. You know what I mean? There's always a different cause, so to speak. I know you mentioned earlier that you did have an experience, not so much with you know, what I deal with, which is hauntings, but with actual UFO.
Yeah, like many other people, I've had an experience with
Why don't you tell us about that? That'd be awesome.
Sure, okay, I won't maybe get into the full experience, you know, because it was just so in-depth and stuff, and it's also, I gotta say, something that I consider very personal to myself. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, I don't mind sharing the basic logistics of it, and that's out in Avondale, where it's about an hour outside of St. John's. My father has like a teepee, which is a structure with, you know, 12 skin poles and a canvas around it, and inside that you can have a fire, which, just first off, if you see that from an aerial view, it's like a beacon, you know, it's not like any of the other houses, it's like this big jack-o'-lantern on the landscape, you know, so I think whatever it was, you know, this unidentified flying object, that's what drew it in, because we had a fire in the teepee that night, and it was just one of those beautiful nights where, you know, everything, like, you could see the Milky Way in the galaxy, you could see shooting stars, you know, the sky was like dancing, you know, totally visible. So we were already out just enjoying ourselves, having a walk, looking at shooting stars. Anyway, me and my cousin Josh were looking over the coast out around the bay, and we could see this kind of star-shaped dot of light skipping back and forth.
We're in the middle!
Yeah, really fast, and I said to Josh, I said, that's a helicopter. And he said, no helicopter moves that fast. And instantly, you know, when he said that, I realized we were having just this kind of UFO experience. Like, something like, what is this? You know, we don't know what it is, and it's very compelling and very bright and very, you know, there with us, you know? And almost in the time it took me to realize that, it started to rise in the air and become bigger. And then it started to lower in the air, and it was still becoming bigger. So basically a parabola towards us, in incredibly quick amount of time, like in the amount of time it took me to just, you know, not even have a thought, it was right over our heads, completely over our heads, and it was like looking at a city almost, because it was a bunch of different colored lights just turning on and off, and the most compelling part of it of all was that there was no sound of propulsion. Mm. It was just total silence. So I said to my cousin Josh, I said, that's like hundreds of thousands of feet up there, you know, that's got to be really up there. And then he said to me, no, that's right there with us, that's like 500 feet away. And then I got this really intense sensation, like I'm really scared, to be quite frank, because I had no sense of relative perspective. By that I mean I had no way to tell how close it was. It could have been as big as a car and just been this kind of like, you know, probe thing, or it could have been as big as you know, the Avalon Mall. It could have been as big as a shopping center or a giant boat or something. So that was a really overwhelming experience, to see this thing and not be able to identify with it and, you know, have a sense of what it is. Anyway, that was essentially the end of the experience, and he said, you know, my arm feels weird, and I just grabbed him and we ran inside and closed the door. We just kind of ran from it, you know, because it was really overwhelming and it was really quite intense. But yeah, that was my UFO experience, and then what really confirmed it for me, not just having shared it with my cousin, but also my friend, when I went to tell my friend about it, who has a place in Brigus, which is just down the coast, he actually saw the phenomena from Brigus come right over our house from, like, you know, kilometers away. So that was amazing, too.
Awesome. And, you know, we do hear a lot of stories, and there's always a common theme when you deal with UFO phenomena, and it's usually that different parts of the experience are missing. In your case, it would be the sound. We didn't hear anything that was above us, right? Mm. Which also lends to one of my theories that I wrote about in my book, that a lot of these things that we deal with the paranormal might actually be dimensional. what we're actually getting is a glimpse of something else that exists somewhere else. And much like an ocean, that parallel dimension washes over ours. We get a quick glimpse of it, and then it disappears again, never to be seen. We'll explain a lot, actually, about ghost phenomena, UFOs, even Bigfoot. If it's interdimensional, we'll explain why we don't have a body, but yet we have thousands and thousands and thousands of eyewitness accounts, right? Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, and for me, like, having had this intense experience, I don't associate it with anything particular. I don't necessarily say that it is aliens. Having said that, I do believe personally that it was aliens, and I do believe that it would be ignorant to think that, that life isn't out there in the galaxy just because, our own life is proof enough for me, and just the infinite reach of space.
Absolutely. It's like, how can you write off infinite possibilities?
Exactly, yeah.
I think that requires a much deeper faith than anything we'd ever read in a book, to believe that we truly are alone.
Yeah, absolutely, because, we can see infinite possibilities and combinations here on Earth, and we can look into the vast reaches of space and see how vast and expansive that is. So surely other combinations exist and other wonders exist in the galaxy.
And, I always say Odd to Newfoundland should be about the odd people. Look who's podcasting with you. But, there's no doubt that you guys do have a very interesting backstory as well. Tell me a little bit about Benny.
Okay, yeah, Benny's my uncle, and he runs the circus in Newfoundland, the Royal Wonderbald Circus, which has been going strong for about 30 years now, more than 30 years, and he does a lot. The circus has charitable status, and he does all kinds of work in the community, and basically his hope and dream, and he's always making that a reality, is to take the circus to places that wouldn't otherwise get to see that kind of entertainment and wouldn't otherwise get to enjoy an experience like that, because he doesn't just do the shows, and he also does workshops too. And part of that is bringing in performers from other parts of Canada and other parts of the world to enjoy that experience with people here locally.
Interesting. And one thing that always struck me, like, as a little boy, we look at these shows and things like that. We're all entertainers at heart, I like to believe. And one of the things I do remember as a young boy is always looking up and just being in awe at all the skills and amazing things people can do who are with a circus, right? One of the things I actually plug my show with is the best in East Coast esoterica. A lot of people don't understand what the word esoterica or esoteric actually means. It means fringe, on the outside of usual. And, me being involved with pro wrestling, there's many, many similarities between pro wrestling and circus life. In fact, it's where pro wrestling came from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the circus might be a family away from family, a home away from home, so to speak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's a really great kind of people associated with the circus. You're meeting people who are, when you work with any artistic community, you always, I think, meet great people. But sometimes, as everyone knows, there's no secret, artists can be quite intense, and artists can be quite mean. But I think the circus is a different kind of experience because everyone's bringing something different to the group. So people aren't exactly self-conscious about, this person's doing the same thing better than me, or this person's the star, because we're all stars in the circus. We're all offering a different experience. So I think part of that is just got a really good ethos to it, too. Not to say that any other kind of artistic medium is innately, bad or going to have drama to it, but I've really found the circus has a certain undefinable quality that I really enjoy, yeah.
I think, and I can say for wrestling, it definitely, it's never about being the star of the show, because their star of the show and everything, that's already planned.
Mm-hmm.
It's about contributing and, bringing your best to the show. Bringing your best to the show so that your experience is memorable for everybody, but the whole entire circus itself is what people want to see. So I think that's really interesting too.
Yeah, and the circus does have a lot in common with the wrestling, the costumes, the drama, the being on the road, being able to travel the show really intensely and pack it up and stuff. And like you said, how the star isn't necessarily the champion of the circus. You might have a wrestler that people respond really well to, but they're not the good guy or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of
exactly where I was going with that one. And Woody, once again, we talk about paranormal experiences or anything like that. Is there anything out there that you're really interested in with the paranormal?
I would say, I'm a super spiritual person, and I take really big interest in all religions and even New Age interested in, like, all of that stuff. But I personally haven't had any very significant experiences.
That's
I was witness to Dash's UFO experience. I remember him telling me the day after it, and I witnessed his friend also being like his friend mentioned it to him, you know, like he was like, I saw that, like it was crazy. I'm like a witness to that kind of experience from like the outside of having seen him like the day after, and you could really see like how much it affected him, how intense that was.
Indeed, yeah. And you know, I'll say it once, I'll say it again, I'm sure a thousand times before I stop doing this, most people are not believers until they have their own experience.
That's something I definitely have in common. I mean, I've always been very open, and I've always believed in aliens, but I've also been very skeptical of, you know, like, other people's experiences. And I actually remember doing Jennifer Porter, who is a professor of religious studies, and she does courses on paranormal and spiritualism and all that kind of stuff. And I remember doing a course on UFO spirituality, and of course just having that thought in my head when I saw some people's anecdotes, like, oh, you know, this person's a nut job or whatever. But then after having my own experience, I remember thinking back to some of those and the similarities in mine, and just taking them with, you know, a little more of a grain of salt. And now I'm always looking for, you know, people who've had UFO experiences that I feel are legitimate, especially, you know, when they're military people, like, you know, jet fighter pilots or former, you know, aviation experts. That's always really interesting for me to see, you know, and to see what's out there in our airspace that we don't understand.
And, you know, the fun part is always postulating. Like, if we are having visits, we'll say, from UFOs, somebody has to be driving these things. What and who and why would they ever come here? And one of the interesting theories I heard, you know, is, you know, if there truly is extraterrestrials visiting our planet, why would they come here? And my thing is kind of like, well, when you go for a walk in the woods, do you pay much attention to the squirrels that are around you? If these are advanced forms of life, are they going to pay attention to us? Obviously, they're more advanced than us. So the way I would think would probably be, we're just the squirrels on their adventure. They're just coming through, so they're not really paying attention to us much, really, at all.
Right? Or maybe they're paying very deep attention to us, like an anthropologist who's kind of hiding, you know? Maybe they're studying us in some kind of way, I wonder, you know? Yeah. I always wonder if they're interested to see, like, where we're going as a culture, as a society, you know? Maybe they're interested in our power to destroy ourselves and nature, or not, you know?
And, you know, we get into the age-old question, you know, do we truly have spiritual leaders and beings from the past who might actually just be extraterrestrials? We've had that before, right? And I don't know if you guys ever read one of my favorite books. One of the first books I ever got actually gifted to me was Chariots of the Gods.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. That was part of Jennifer Porter's course, actually, discussing that book, yeah.
Yeah, and just making the correlations between, you know, God beings and maybe somebody who's just more advanced than us technologically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that, like, for instance, 100 years ago, if you guys put on the light show you're putting on now, they call you witches.
Yeah.
They think that you're crazy powerful beings.
Certainly my culture would have.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah.
But now, you know, just from technology, suddenly that paranormal is quite normal, right? So, you know, it's interesting to think that maybe what we're dealing with is maybe time travelers. Maybe it's us. Who knows? Hard to say, but that's the fun thing about the paranormal. Nobody knows for certain. There's no experts in the field. Thank God, because as soon as there really are experts in the field and anything proven, guys like me are out of a job.
It's like Jurassic Park when they, you know, he says, I'll be out of the job, you know, when they bring the dinosaurs back.
Yeah, thank God they can't open doors, huh?
Generally, we'd like to plug our YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
And you can find me, Dash Malone is the name of my channel, and we do ninja films and fan films and stuff like that, and Noelle has her own channel.
Pop Star Wars.
And we talk about everything, you know, from video games to Selena Gomez's hair extensions.
That's right.
Because we all need more Selena Gomez hair extensions in our life. And, you know, that's really interesting.
And speaking of the paranormal, I'm pretty sure her hair extensions are made from unicorn tails.
Well, as long as they're not neon cat, we'll be okay. And, you know, one thing we do see in pop culture more and more now is it's almost like a god status, we'll say. And, you know, it's interesting that we debate about hair extensions because that's important to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
guess I'm going to bring this to a close now. 25 minutes is always what I'm looking for because I like having a 45-minute podcast.
Oh, okay, so tight.
It's all good, but it's pretty tight. Anything you guys like to add? Anything at all?
Well, we're really happy that you had us on about to talk about our experiences and stuff, and we're happy to be driving out to AtlanticCon.
Yeah, thanks for interviewing us, driving us, letting me drive you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the horrible truth. I'm going to let everybody know. I can stand, being alone in the most haunted place in Newfoundland for hours in the wee hours in the morning by myself with no one around, and be absolutely fine. But highway driving makes me sweat under the collar, man. It terrifies me. So you're actually doing me a big favor by driving. And hey, that gave me a chance to put another podcast out there. I certainly appreciate that. And I guess we'll call it a close there. In closing statement, I'd like to thank you both for coming on, hanging out, and maybe killing 20 minutes on our route. And you guys, I hope you guys have a great con. I know I will. And just to let everybody know, AtlanticCon actually is starting tonight.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying that. Yeah.
Really.
Starts tonight. Am I believing it's 8 o'clock? It starts with a movie.
Okay.
I believe. Wow. And opening ceremonies are Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We're all going to be there. Dash and Woody, of course, with a light show and costume panel.
Yeah.
I'll be there with the Life After Death Society table, letting people listen to Electronic Voice Phenomena. And I'll be hosting my own panel, of course, New Fee EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland, where I'll talk about my journey from atheist to paranormal investigator. So pretty excited. Hope to see you all there. I know I'll see you two there, but I hope everyone who's listening is there as well. Of course, the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. This is John Mallard, Woody, and Dash Malone saying, see you at the con, folks.
Cheers.
See ya.
And with that, I do say goodbye. I look forward to talking with you once again. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.